Hey, thank you so much for taking the time to watch this message. My name is Matt Paddock, and I'm one of the pastors here at Relevant Community Church. And it is my prayer that something in this message inspires and empowers you to take your best next step to follow Jesus. And as you take steps in continually following Jesus, that you are more and more transformed into everything God has created you to be. I hope you enjoy this message.
When something is unfinished, it means it's still in process. It's being refined, molded, shaped into something that will one day be final, but it's not yet done. I'm confident that God's transforming work is unfinished. I'm confident God's transforming work is unfinished in you. He's not yet done transforming you into everything He's created you to be. God has done some amazing things in and through our church over the past 15 years, but He's not yet done with us. He has truly only just begun.
Well, last week we didn't just start a new series. Last week we launched into a new season in the life of our church. A season I believe God wants to use to radically transform you and our church in ways we can't possibly imagine. A season that we're calling Unfinished. And to help guide you on this unfinished journey through these 5 weeks, we put together one of these unfinished booklets. Hey, if last week you weren't here, your kid was sick, you were sick, you were out of town, or today's your first time, we want to make sure we get you one of these so you understand kind of everything that's going on. So real quick, if you weren't here last week, or if you accidentally left it at home or lost this, just put your hand up real quick. Our ushers will see your hand and they'll bring you one of these books. So keep your hand high in the air. Ushers going all around. We just want to make sure we get one of these in your hand. By the way, if you're watching online, you can view this book online on the website. URL is right here. You can go to the app and get it as well. Easiest way to get there is just text the word unfinished to 55444. We will send you the link straight to it. The first 27 pages of this book, by the way, just keep your hand high, good job. First 27 pages of this book is all about the unfinished vision. It explains all of it, and it also explains on how you can engage in unfinished. And then there's spots for sermon notes for all 5 weeks of this series. There's spots for T-Life, or there's a T-Life group discussion guides for all 5 weeks of the T-Life groups that we're doing throughout this series. By the way, if you want to take notes on it today, on page 33, there's a page for notes. And I would encourage you, bring this book back every week. Take it on Sundays, take it with you to T-Life groups. Finally, if you're going to notice in the back of that book, there's one of these little cards. Go ahead and just set that to the side. I'll explain what this is in just a little bit. Now, the inspiration for Unfinished actually came from something that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church, to the community of Christ followers in the city of Philippi in the first century, about 30 or so years after the events of Jesus' life. And he wrote this to them: "Being confident of this, that he, that God, who began a good work in you, individually, when you put your faith in Jesus, asking him to be the forgiver of your sins and leader of your life, and in you, as a church, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." What Paul was 100% confident in is that God's transforming work is unfinished. That was true for the Philippian church. That's true for every follower of Christ today. That's true for you. That's true for your marriage. That's true for your kids. That's true for our community. That's true for our church. Relevant, like Paul, I'm confident that God's transforming work is unfinished. I'm confident God's transforming work is unfinished in you. He's not done transforming you into everything he's created you to be. And I'm confident that God's transforming work is unfinished in us as a church. He's not yet done transforming us into everything he's created us to be. And like Paul, I'm confident that he who began a good and transforming work in you and in us can and wants to carry it on to completion. But I'm also confident that won't happen by accident, which is the entire reason we're doing Unfinished. To remind you, Unfinished is a 2-year generosity initiative to help carry on to completion God's unfinished transforming work in you and in Relevant. We've set an unfinished generosity goal of $12 million over the next 2 years to help carry on to completion three transformational kingdom of God building, God glorifying initiatives First is our unfinished mission of helping transform people into everything God's created us to be. Second is our unfinished vision for the Relevance Center. And third is the unfinished impact that Jesus has called us to in our community with Korean refugees in Omaha and on the Thai-Burma border, with helping start new churches, and with supporting our nonprofit partners all around the world. And once again, all of that is explained in the first 27 pages of this booklet. Now, you need to know, the generosity goal of $12 million is a God-sized goal, and it is the biggest step of faith that we have ever taken as a church. However, it's important to know that this is not our primary goal for Unfinished. Please don't miss what I say next. Our primary goal for Unfinished is 100% engagement. Our primary goal is that 100% of us, single people, married people, wealthy people, financially strapped people, retired people, young people, young professionals, parents, Sprouts, Relevant Kids, Rooted students, YU students, college-age people, that 100% of us go before God and engage in Unfinished by asking Him what He would have us do in regard to our generosity over the next 2 years, and then stepping out in faith and sacrificially following Him. That's our primary goal, not because I want anything from you. I do not. But because of what I want for you. And what I want for you and for me more than anything else is for you and me to be transformed more into everything God's created us to be. And according to the writers of Scripture, and according to Jesus, transformation doesn't happen by accident. We must be positioned for it. You and I being transformed doesn't happen by accident. You and I must be positioned for it. And one of the ways that we position ourselves for it is through generosity. A powerful principle that we see emerge through the pages of Scripture is that generosity generates transformation. God uses our generosity to generate transformation in us, in our church, and through our church in a way that doesn't happen in any other way. And what that means is that God uniquely uses generosity to carry on to completion His unfinished transforming work. And the reason that generosity positions us for transformation is because, maybe more than anything else does, generosity proves our trust in God, grows our trust in God, and transfers our trust to God. The more we trust Him, the better our relationship will be. The better our relationship with Him is, the more we experience His presence, and the more He transforms us into everything He's created us to be. And that's ultimately what God wants for you and what Unfinished is all about. Now, if that's true that generosity positions us for transformation, which I obviously believe that it is, the question that we, especially those of us who would say we're followers of Christ, the question that we should be asking is my generosity positioning me for transformation? Is my generosity positioning me for God to carry on to completion the unfinished transforming work that He wants to do in me and in our church? Listen, if you really want to be more transformed to everything God's created you to be, if you really want Relevance to be more transformed to everything God's created us to be, I encourage you to honestly answer this question. And to help you answer it, through the rest of this series, we're looking at four postures that position us for transformation and how generosity positions us to actually take that posture. Now, regardless of your past church experience, regardless of your reservations right now, regardless of your preconceived notions or where you're at on your spiritual journey or how long you've been a part of Relevant, I encourage you to engage with what we're talking about throughout the rest of the series with an open mind and an open heart. If you do, I believe you will position yourself to experience God in a way you haven't before. You will position yourself to experience church in a way you haven't before. And you will position yourself to experience transformation in a way that you haven't before. Now today, I want to talk about the first posture that positions us for transformation. And this posture is actually a four-word phrase. Now, before I tell you what that four-word phrase is, let me ask you a question. In regard to financial generosity, what four words do you think God wants to hear? In regard to financial generosity, what four words do you think God wants to hear from us? Here's three possibilities. Possibility number one, Give until it hurts. Because the more it hurts you, the happier God is. Here's another possibility. Give everything you have. God wants 100% of your bank account, and anything less than 100% of your bank account is not honoring to him. Here's a third possibility. Give if you can. God knows your financial situation. He's only concerned with good intentions. So after you pay your bills and you get what you need, then you get maybe some things you want. If you have any left over, give if you can. Now, which of these four phrases do you think God wants to hear from us in regard to our generosity? Now, regardless of what you've been told or regardless of what you've assumed, the answer of these three is none of them. And none of these four words are what God desires to hear from us because none of them are found in Scripture and none of them position us for transformation. And everything that God desires to hear from us will position us for what God wants for us, which is to transform us. And what that means is if you assume or you could conclude that any of these four words are the phrases that God wants to hear from you, you will never understand God's heart. You will completely miss out on what God wants to do in you through generosity. You will never cheerfully give. You will become cynical and angry anytime anyone talks about giving. You may give, but you'll never be generous. And that means you'll never experience a transformation that can only be generated through generosity. Now, for the next few minutes, I want you to get money completely out of your mind. Like, don't think about money for the next few. You got to set that completely aside for the next few minutes, because if you don't, you won't get what I'm getting at, and you'll miss how powerful this is in our lives. So get it completely out of your mind. Okay. Now, in every single area of our lives, relationally, occupationally, physically, sexually, financially, mentally, emotionally, and at home, at work, at school, in all of our relationships, with all the decisions that we make, in every area of our lives, the four-word phrase that God desires to hear from us is this: your will be done. God, whatever you want, God, your will and your wants ahead of mine. This is the four-word phrase that God wants to hear from us, because these four words are how we position ourselves for transformation. And Jesus knew that, which is why Jesus instructed us to pray them. In Matthew 6, Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray. And what Jesus taught them has become known as the Lord's Prayer, and is something that many people, maybe you, have memorized. Unfortunately, many people, maybe you, have also missed Jesus' point entirely. Because Jesus wasn't giving us a prayer to memorize here. He was teaching us how to pray in a transformational way. And right toward the beginning, here's how he said we should pray. Heavenly Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus is going, hey, before you pray about all the things you want and all the things you need, the four words your Heavenly Father desires to hear from you are, your will be done, not just in heaven and not just on earth, but in your life. When you pray, Jesus says, take the posture of, God, whatever you want, God, your wants and your will ahead of mine, God, your will be, be done. And this four-word posture can actually be summed up in one word, and that one word is surrender. To surrender ourselves to God means to abandon oneself entirely to Him. When we surrender ourselves to God, we give up the authority we think we have and the control we want to have. And we say, you have the authority, and you have the control. When we surrender ourselves to God, we say, I will do whatever you want me to do. When we surrender ourselves to God, we abandon our wants, our wills, our desires to what He wants, His will, and what He desires. When we surrender ourselves to God, we position ourselves for Him to do His will in us and through us. And here's what the posture of surrender looks like. Obedience. open hands. So Jesus is saying, when you pray, pray, God, I am fully surrendered to you. Before you pray about anything else, start with, God, I'm fully surrendered to you. Your will be done in my marriage, in my finances, in my relationships, with my job, with my future. God, whatever you want, your will and your wants ahead of mine. And the opposite posture of surrender looks like this. And you know that fists are only good for one thing. They're only good for fighting. And this is the posture that we often take with God. God, what I want. God, my wants, my will ahead of yours. God, you're here to do my will. And we end up fighting with God. And therefore, we never position ourselves for God to do anything in our lives. Listen, if you're a follower of Christ, if you've put your faith in Jesus and said, he is my Savior, I follow him as the leader of my life, my Lord, you need to know, following Jesus can be summarized with the posture of surrender. You need to know that surrender is the posture we must take in order to follow Jesus. Surrender is how we enter into a saving relationship with Jesus. In order to put our faith in Jesus, we must surrender to him as our Savior. But when we put our faith in Jesus, we don't just ask him to be the forgiver of our sins. We also declare that he is now our Lord and that we're going to follow him as the leader of our lives. And how we actually follow Jesus is one practical, real life, obedient, next step at a time. And every next step requires surrender. Jesus, whatever you want to invite me into and lead me into, Jesus, whatever you would have me do, I abandon myself entirely to you, Jesus. Your will be done. And through every next step of surrender is how we grow in our trust in him and our relationship with him. Through every next step of surrender is how we experience more of his presence. Through every next step of surrender is how he transforms us into everything God's created us to be. Now, real quick, I want to quickly talk to those of you who have never put your faith in Jesus, who do not call yourselves followers of Christ. I just want to let you know that today, before you leave, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. And as crazy and as weird as it sounds, I just want to encourage you, if you feel a prompting and a stirring, and you're like, I can't even believe it, I'm considering this. I believe that's God right now prompting you and stirring you and inviting you. And today, you get the opportunity to surrender. Surrender. The posture of surrender positions us for transformation. But what does the posture of surrender now look like financially? Let's add that back into our minds now. What does the posture of surrender look like financially? And to answer that, we're going to look at an interesting story in the New Testament book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. In Luke 18, Jesus had an interesting interaction with this man who is described as a ruler and also described as extremely wealthy. Now, even though most of us will probably never be as wealthy as this man was, we shouldn't skip over this story. And we shouldn't skip over it because what Jesus was trying to communicate to this man was so powerful for all of us, regardless of how much or regardless of how little that we have. Here's how the story goes, starting in verse 18. A certain ruler asked Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Hey, Jesus, you seem to have some special connection with God, so let me ask you a question. What must I do to be forgiven for my sins and redeemed and be right with God and to experience God's life-giving presence in this life and in the next? Now, you got to know, this man was a devout Jew who knew the Hebrew scriptures very well. So Jesus responded by listing a few of the Ten Commandments that are found in the Hebrew scriptures. Verse 20, you know the commandments. You should not commit murder. You should not commit adultery. You should not commit murder. You should not steal. You should not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. Now, real quick, stop. You need to know, this wasn't really what Jesus believed to be the answer to this man's question. Jesus answered this man's question in this way for one reason, and it was to test where the man's heart was at. And here's how the man responded. "All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. I mean, how Jesus answered this man's question is how any good Jewish teacher would have answered this question. So this man was feeling really good about himself right at this point. And now Jesus knew where his heart was at. And here's how Jesus responded. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. One thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come follow me." And I know some of you are going, "Wait, Ronnie. Earlier you said God doesn't want 100% of my bank account. But based on what Jesus said here, it sure looks like he does." And you got to know that's not what Jesus is saying at all. And if you conclude it is, you'll completely miss out on what Jesus is trying to communicate here. Here is the heart of what Jesus was trying to get across to this man. He looks at him and says, to position yourself for transformation, to experience all that God wants for you, requires surrender. And my friend, you haven't surrendered all of yourself to God. You haven't surrendered your will. You haven't surrendered the one thing that you're holding on tightly to, which is your money. You've got a tight grip on it, therefore it has its grip on your heart and on your devotion, on your trust in God. So if you really want to experience all that God has for you, surrender that one thing. Take the posture of, "God, your will be done," in regard to generosity. Verse 23. When he heard this, what do you think he did? Now let me ask, what would you do? If you're a follower of Christ, what are you going to do with what Jesus said here? Unfortunately, like some of us, when he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. He closed his fists, he tightened his grip on his wealth, and he said, "My will be done." Listen, we all have that one thing. We all have that one thing. That one thing we're not willing to surrender. That one thing that's very hard for us to surrender. That one thing that if we don't surrender, we'll end up fighting with God over it and will take us out of position to experience his transforming work. And I want you to know, over the last 3 years, one thing that I have been, that's been very hard for me to surrender, that's been very tempted to close my fists with, is all this stuff with the Relevant Center expansion that we hope to do through Unfinished. I've given 3 years of my life to do all the work to get us to where we are today to be able to do this. And I know that none of it happens without the $12 million being committed at the end of Unfinished. And so, I mean, I just, for, you know, I'm like, "God, I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to make this happen. Come on, God, we need this to happen, God." And at the beginning of this year, I just felt as I was praying about all this toward the beginning of 2024 that kind of what God impressed on my heart and my mind was, you need to surrender it. You need to surrender it. And I'm like, "Yeah, but God, what if I surrender it? And what if I let go? And this is not your will. And this doesn't happen. God, then I'm about to stand up in front of everyone and say I was wrong? Like, and then what about all the stuff with the kids and the students? Like, God, that's, you obviously want this to happen." And I pray and I kept hearing, "You need to surrender it. You need to let it go. And be okay with, at the end of this, it's not my will. You need to be okay with that." And over the last 8 or 9 months, that's what I've been praying more for, is this. Because I know that when I close my fist when it comes to this, you know what ends up getting its grip on me? Fear. And stress gets its grip on me. And anxiety gets its grip on me. And thinking I'm actually the one in control gets its grip on me.
And then when it gets its grip on me, and if I keep my fist closed with this, I know what will end up happening. And I think this is why God led me into this at the beginning, is I will end up trying to manipulate you. And instead of being able to say, you just go before God and do whatever he would have you do, I will start asking you to do specific things. And I have to, and the one that has to live in the, go into the future and look in the mirror and know that I did that or didn't do that. And so as hard as this one thing has been to just go, God, your will be done. I'm going, there's no way I'm going to close my fists around this. Surrender is the posture we must take to follow Jesus. And listen, we all have that one thing. We all have that one thing we're not willing to surrender or that's hard for us to surrender. And for many of us, money is that one thing. It's the one thing because, as we discovered last week, we're tempted to trust in it more than God for our future and our hope and our peace and our security and our fulfillment and our identity and our worth. You need to know God does not need your money. He doesn't need your money. He's got all the money and all the resources he could ever need. God wants us to put him first in our heart and first in our life and first in our priorities. So with the number one competitor for our hearts, which as we saw last week is money, as Jesus said, God says, trust me. Trust me by surrendering to what I would have you do in regard to generosity. And like this man in this story, that makes some of us sad. Or it makes you mad because of how much you have or because of how little you have. I don't think that God is probably going to ask any of us. I don't know, maybe he will. But I just don't think he probably will. I don't think God's going to ask you to give 100% of everything that you have. But what he is asking you and me is to surrender 100% of ourselves to him by taking the posture of, God, your will be done. You need to know, in regard to generosity, the heart of surrender is not about what you are giving as much as it is about what you're not giving and why. After this conversation with the man, Jesus had a teaching moment with his disciples about money, and he closed with this. Truly I tell you, Jesus said to them, no one who has left, no one who has surrendered home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, no one who has ever taken the posture of, God, your will be done, will fail to receive many times as much in this age as in the age to come eternal life. Surrender positions us for transformation because surrender is the posture we must take in order to follow Jesus. You got to hear this. Generosity is not something God wants from you. Generosity is not something God wants from you. It's something he wants for you, which is to transform you. And God uses generosity to generate transformation because true generosity positions us in surrender to God. Generosity positions us to surrender that one thing. Generosity positions us to loosen our grip on the number one competitor for our hearts and for it to loosen its grip on us. Generosity positions us to be open to what God has for us. Generosity positions us to surrender what we're tempted to trust in more than God for our future and hope and peace and security and identity and worth and fulfillment. Generosity positions us to prove our trust in God, grow our trust in God, and transfer our trust to God. Go ahead and take a look.
We've been going to church here since right after COVID, the Easter after COVID. Ronnie always talks about those pivotal circumstances, and I've been going to church for a while, and I had never been to church and just felt God talking to me until I came here. When I felt his presence so often, I knew that it was time to just say, yeah, all right, you're the leader of my life. And, you know, this past year, we've been dealing with a ton. You know, I lost my job, then I got cancer, and then now I'm cancer free. And they were our T Life group. You know, they were there for us when we needed it, when we needed a shoulder.
Giving has always been just part of who I am. We always donate to the church. We always give. It's always just been really important to me to give back and to help others. We always have had food on our table, so.
And I could say that old Bill would have said we would have stopped what we were giving completely when I lost my job. The Bill that you see today said, nope, that's not even on the table. I mean, we give what we can, but we're not gonna stop. You know, instead we canceled our gym membership so that we continue to make sure that we can give. We canceled other services that were just a luxury, and the willingness to sacrifice, that's hard. You know, sometimes it's, man, I really want that, but do I really need it? Is that gonna bring joy to my life? I can say that every time I set foot in this building and get around these people, that does bring joy to my life. Financially, we're struggling right now, but we're gonna push through. I'm struggling giving it up to God. I don't understand how people could just go, I have no worries anymore, and because money's important, you know? That's how we keep a house, how we feed our family, how we can give. So it's very hard to give up that control to God, but I know what Relevant gives back to the community, what they invest into our kids. I mean, my kids have grown so much through the Next Gen Ministries here.
It's, for me, it's important to sacrifice because we're not talking about a temporary thing, right? We're talking about the future for our children. We're ensuring that they have those atmospheres that they can come into every week and they have people to talk to. You know, that's been huge for Mackenzie. The way that they have grown here is, that makes it worth it to me. I'll give whatever I can.
I think, but the hardest part is just the sacrifice.
I feel like this is gonna be a season of the church really coming together. I think it's super exciting, and I just can't wait to see what all of our gifts do for Relevant.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Unfinished.
Do you want to be positioned for God's transforming work to be carried on to completion in you? Well, have you taken the posture of surrender? More specifically, when it comes to generosity, have you declared, God, your will be done? God uses generosity to generate transformation because true generosity positions us in surrender to God. And the question that helps us take the posture of surrender is simply this: God, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? What I'm so excited about for Unfinished is that it's giving us all the opportunity to position ourselves for God to transform us into everything He's created us to be, because through it, we get to go before God and ask Him, God, what would you have me do in regards to my generosity over the next 2 years? My only ask of you, and my challenge for you, is that over the next few weeks, you go before God with open hands and ask Him, not me, God, what would you have me do in regard to my generosity over the next 2 years? And then whatever you feel Jesus prompting, Jesus stirring, Jesus convicting, and Jesus inviting you to do, however sacrificial or crazy and scary and uncomfortable it is, to trust God and, like Bill and Heather, to surrender. And then on November 17th, Sunday we're calling Commitment Sunday, 4 weeks from today, proclaim, God, your will be done, by making your 2-year unfinished generosity commitment on one of these cards. Now, as you're praying about this, remember, Unfinished is a one-fund initiative, meaning your unfinished generosity commitment will be your total giving over the next 2 years. Regular giving, expanded giving, end-of-year giving, Be Rich offering giving, everything. Your total giving over the next 2 years. And will go toward everything we're trying to do as a church over the next 2 years, which once again is all outlined in this book. So, church, over the next 2 weeks, let's seek God. Let's seek God boldly, courageously, in a posture of surrender. And then on November 17th, Commitment Sunday, on one of these cards, let's declare, God, your will be done.
That's all that God wants to hear from us. And if we all take that posture, you, I, us as a church, will be positioned for God to transform us. And once again, that's the ultimate reason we're doing Unfinished. Because God's transforming work is unfinished. His transforming work is unfinished in you and in me and in us as a church. And I'm confident that he who began a good work in you and in us as a church will carry it on to completion if we trust God, if we surrender all of ourselves into his hands, if we abandon all of ourselves entirely to him, and if we sacrificially follow Jesus together. Hey, before I close in prayer, I want to remind you of two things. First, at our Next Step area, we've got all things unfinished. If you have any questions about anything with unfinished, any questions of anything I've said or that's written in this book, one of our team members there can answer one of your questions. If you haven't seen the renderings of the Relic Center expansion yet, you should head over there, look at those, because they're awesome. If you need an extra book, we got extra books over there. And if you haven't gotten your free unfinished t-shirt yet, make sure you go over there and get your free unfinished t-shirt. Second thing, I want to invite you to join me and many others from Relevant next Sunday, November 3rd, from 6 to 7:30 p.m. for Advanced Commitment Night. Next Sunday at Advanced Commitment Night, those of us who are ready and those of us who are willing will go first and make our 2-year unfinished generosity commitment before the rest of our church does it on November 17th on Commitment Sunday. Advanced Commitment Night, it's going to be super fun. We're going to have fire pits and s'mores and popcorn bar, and there's going to be powerful worship, and you'll be able to get a real life-size feel of the Relevant Center expansion for Sprouts and Relevant Kids and see where that's going to be on the property and walk around and get a feel how that looks. If you have young kids, we'll have childcare available from birth through third grade, so you probably want to be here just to drop them off for 90 minutes. You don't have to look at them, I'm assuming. So listen, this is actually going to be more than fun. This is going to be an historic evening in the life of our church. It's a can't-miss night because it has the potential to change the spiritual landscape of our church. What we do at Advanced Commitment Night, it's going to be powerful and it's going to be transformational for you, and I believe it'll be inspirational for the rest of our church as well. So I hope you join me. Let's pray. Dear Lord, in every area of our life, as followers of Christ, I pray we just live with this posture of surrender, open hands, saying, your will be done, your will be done, your will be done. But specifically right now, as we're talking about the financial area of our life and generosity, over the next few weeks, I pray that we all just come to this posture. We seek you, what you would have us do. At the end, we have open hands. Say, God, your will be done. Your will be done. Through it, I pray you're glorified. Through it, I pray you do a transforming work. Lord, for any person who's never put their faith in you, Jesus, who's never asked you to be the forgiver of their sins and lead their life, and as they're sitting in this room or at home, they feel a stirring and a conviction to do that, I pray that right now they choose to do that, that quietly where they're at, they confess their need for a Savior because of their sin against you, Heavenly Father. And they declare, Jesus, that they believe that your death and resurrection was sufficient for their salvation, for the forgiveness of their sins, for their redemption. And now, Jesus, I pray that they ask you to be their Savior. That right now they put their faith in you and ask you to be the forgiver of their sins. And they declare right now that they want to follow you as the leader of their life. They want to surrender with open hands to you as their Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Hey, if you prayed that prayer with me this morning, this is an awesome, special day for you. And we would love to celebrate with you by giving you one of these Bibles. Simply text the word Jesus to 55444 and we'll get one of these Bibles to you in the mail, along with some information that will help you take your best next step in following Jesus. Also, we believe that life happens best in the context of community. If you live in the Elkhorn or Omaha area and you're not part of a local church, we'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday gatherings at 9 or at 10:45.
You can find out more about Relevant or what a Sunday morning looks like around here simply by going to our website, relevantcommunity.org. Thanks again for watching.